What's going on, guys? Eric Black here, Parker Miner over there. This is Rockcast. Thanks for hanging out again this week, this month, this year, whatever it is for you. I don't know. This evening for us, as we record this right now, maybe it's evening for you. Maybe it's in the morning, you weirdos that like mornings. I'm not a morning person, don't like mornings. Parker, how you doing, buddy?
Well, pretty damn good. I feel good. I don't know if it's the morning or the nighttime. I don't know. Just know that we're all together, and this is Rockcast.
This is Rockcast. That's right. And we're going to get a little housekeeping out of the way. It's a new thing we're going to start doing. We got to be professional, Parker. We have to be professional. So we're going to, if you're not following us on Instagram, Facebook, on, where else are we? YouTube?
Everywhere. You name it.
Go do it right now. You've got a minute. If you haven't refilled your drink, maybe get some food, some snacks.
You have time before the randomness starts.
You got a couple seconds. Just run now. Go get it done. We have everything we need here because we were prepared. So it's all good. It's going to be a fun show, I think. It's going to be a fun show. I forgot there's an A in there. It's going to be a fun show tonight, guys. We've got a lot of good stuff going on. It's going to get weird, I'm pretty sure. And if it doesn't, I'm going to be very mad. So we'll see what's going to go on. This is Rockcast. Now we're going to try something new. We're going to go to a sponsor break right now.
What?
Get it out of the way, pay some bills, and then we'll come back and we'll let you know what's going on. All right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Here we go.
What's going on, guys? Eric Black here. Parker Miner over there.
Whatever. He's somewhere. It's fine.
It doesn't matter.
Just keep going.
It's all good. Listen, here's the thing. We have been sleeping ridiculously well, and this is not something that we take lightly. This is, we love our sleep. Rock stars love their
absolutely
sleep, okay? That's all we're saying. So we came across this brand, and we fell in love with it. Actually, after about a 45-minute nap, we fell in love with it. It was fantastic. What I'm talking about is MyPillow. Yes, MyPillow.com has all of the stuff that you need to fall asleep very well. Now, listen, it's not just about sleep. It's about comfort. It's about comfort.
Absolutely.
They have, absolutely, Parker, they have pillows. They have Giza sheets.
Love them.
What else do they have? They have towels.
Mattress,
they
toppers.
Have mattresses. Yeah, toppers.
You name it,
they pretty much have it. It's not just pillows, kids.
They
it's
even have slippers, Eric.
They have slippers. Rock stars need slippers. I don't know if you've seen this, but Ozzy Osbourne wears slippers.
He does.
I'm just saying that's how that works. Here's the thing. Now, Mike has been so generous lately that he has he's actually taken his pricing down.
Absolutely.
Just a touch. Just a scotch, if you will. Normally, a king size pillow would be what, like $70?
Could be.
Something like that. Yeah. Not today, folks. Not today. $30. $30, and you get to sleep like a freaking king. That's right.
It literally.
It's something like what, Parker? What did we say? Like 40?
40 bucks 40 in bucks? Savings. I mean, $69.98 regularly, I believe, is the price. $29.98.
That's right. Now, if you want to go a little bit further and you want to be cool like us, you can go ahead and get that king size pillow. It's just $5 more. It's just
it's worth it.
It's worth every single dime, penny, or whatever it is that you are going to use to purchase those things.
Either way, with us, you're getting a $40 savings.
It's nice. MyPillow.com. You can go there and use promo code ROCKCAST for up to 66% off of your entire order. Now, there's also a phone number. You can call 800-646-5719. That's 800-646-5719. I don't know any of you that are going to call that number, but if you do, it's fine. It goes straight to where we need it to go to, I guess. But I would say just Parker. Hold on. Parker's calling.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, Mike answered himself. Look, Mike Lindell, look, Oh, you already know about it. Okay, all right.
He knows about
promo code Rockcast. There we go.
Does he really? Oh, that's nice of him. That's very cool. Promo code Rockcast, up to 66% off mypillow.com. Go do it right now. It's the best way for you to support the show and support a great American product. go do it right now. We'll wait. We'll wait right here. Just
we're not leaving.
You know, go.
We're
go
still waiting. It. You're not pushing them. Push the numbers.
Why you're still here? You should go and just do it. Rockcast promo code, mypillow.com. Look, I need to get the number again. 800-646-5719. Why are you still here?
Rockcast.
Oh, all right, back. Guys, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Parker, did you flush twice or was it just one time?
That's what I was about to say. It was three, actually. When you have a three flusher, you are starting the day or evening the right way.
Whichever. Yeah, whichever it is that you start first.
And you know what, Eric? You know what's interesting?
Mm-mm, I don't. Tell me right now.
There's this new root beer flavor that you can pour in with your Coke. But if you mix it just right, it's the perfect root beer taste. See the color?
Yeah, I see the color.
It is root, but it's not beer. It's like, what do they call that? A flavoring? Watch. You mix it really good. You get a little Coke, and you do this, and it's like. I call that the Rich Badeau, because that's the wrong way.
Hey, that's it. Funny. That's funny because I'm pretty sure, I'm certain that he's actually on the show this week. If I'm is he here right now?
Bedeau? No, he's not. But Rich Bedeau is with us, isn't that right, Rich?
Let's see here. Yep, I'm here.
Hello. There he is.
There he is.
Man, Rich, how are you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How about you? How are you guys?
Well, you know, we're not bad. So I guess that means we're pretty good. We could be worse. There could be a lot worse things happening to us right now.
That's
I guess.
True.
So that's, you know, that's yeah. fine.
I'm going to start this off saying, Eric, you remind me of the guitar player from Dream Theater for some reason. John Petrucci, I think his name.
It's actually him.
It's me. Yeah, it's me. I changed my name. Yeah. I was sick of the fame. You know how it goes.
Sick of the arpeggios.
Just sick of it. Yeah, just sick of it. I'm going to – this is really – here we go. That's better. Ooh, that sounds much better. Oh, look at
that's
that.
That's real
It's my
nice.
First day as a sound guy too, so we're having a good time today. You know, very, very professional. Very professional.
I have looked, but I'm not going to use it. It's too bad. It's a good mic.
Oh, man.
I know this really cool guy that has one of those.
Yeah, I did. I know that guy too. I know that guy too. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Rich. You've been in a lot of bands. Well, not a lot, but you've been doing it for a lot of years. We need to talk about one band in particular right now. I have a series of bands that you've been in. We're gonna talk about every single one of them. So this might be a 3-hour show. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Here.
But right now, I need to know a little bit about Finger 11, because if I researched correctly, this was about 15 years that you invested in this band and were hanging out with these dudes. Is that right?
Yeah, actually closer to 20.
Wow. Yeah.
Pretty wild, man.
That's awesome.
Man. Yeah. Well, what are some of the things that, you know, because right now we're all going we're all going through concert withdrawals. We're all going through show withdrawals, venue withdrawals. I mean, just festival. I mean, everything you can think of. We're going through some withdrawals. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get into the mindset of remember that one time and kind of just, you know, block out a lot of the crap that's happening right now. What are some of the cool stories, man, that you have on tour? And it doesn't necessarily have to be with Finger 11. It can be with any of the other bands we're going to talk about. But what are some of the cool stories that you can remember that just kind of stuck out in your head?
Well, I think to begin with, it's fun. I've been out of the band now for, I'm not sure, 6 years, I think, maybe 7. But because I spent so much time in the band and those guys, you know, we lived together for all of that 20 years. I mean, I haven't talked since, which unfortunately just happens, you know, with bands.
Yeah.
But I still in some ways feel like that's kind of my identity, you know, like I still feel kind of part of the band because I was there for so long and still, I mean, interviews like this, the band still comes up all the time and just, it, you know, so it's, I'm not sure if they would like me saying that. I'm sure they would on more. But,
I'm sure they're
they're
okay
not on
it.
This show. So,
yeah.
And look, be honest, man. The band grew on you. The guy, I mean, Rich has 11 fingers now.
That's true. Oh. He does. He does.
Yes.
But some man, it's funny because there's like chapters in the band in the beginning, driving around in a band trailer. Hold on, my wife's gonna walk by. Let's have a second. This is Sarah.
Sarah,
hello. Hello.
Oh. Hi.
So there's the beginning phases when we're just in a van and trailer, kind of meeting all the big bands for the first time, and just that excitement, young guys out on the road. And there's sort of the middle part of the band's career where we moved up to a bus, we were doing bigger venues, headlining our own shows. And then sort of the third chapter when we had a hit or two and everything kind of blew up and started doing like, you know, Jay Leno show and all that stuff. Every chapter is equally memorable to me. But, you know, as we went along, obviously, I think we made friends with more band guys and, you know, that are still friends to this day. And the whole life became a little less overwhelming than it was in the beginning. Some things that stick out to me, you know, we got to go to Afghanistan and play for the troops.
Wow.
Which was really wild. And some of, you know, we toured with Ozzy. So touring with guys like that, you know, really felt like fucking 30 years from now, I'm going to tell people I toured with Ozzy.
That's awesome.
So yeah, everything that happened along the way, I definitely, it was like a checklist. Wow. Okay. Now we played our first hockey arena. Like, you know, wow, we got a tour bus. Mm-hmm. Playing in. So it's all still fresh in my head and still super proud of it all, you know, even though it's quite a few years gone past now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, has there been anything as far as like learning, as far as like, so you mentioned a few minutes ago that, you know, you met a lot of good people, you met a lot of new bands and a lot of things like that. So I guess my question is, essentially you were networking at that point. So you're a new band, you go on the road, you tour. Yes, you're trying to get fans. You're trying to do, you know, you're trying to pay bills, essentially. But you're also trying to network. Is that what I'm kind of hearing? Is maybe networking is key in a band like that?
I don't know if I looked at it as networking. Back then, those guys, I'd say, were less social in some ways, more social in, you know, a couple of guys were like big fans of smoking weed and like, so that attracts its own group of guys that will hang at a, you know, in the back of a bus or backstage or whatever.
Yeah.
And
right.
I was sort of the social butterfly with everybody, you know, staying on other bands, buses overnight, traveling. A couple of guys in the band were really sort of kept to themselves. You know, so I don't know if I would have called it networking back then. It was more just making friends with people. That was all you met. That was all we did was tour. So
yeah,
definitely made bonds back then that I still have today. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so cool.
How long did it take you to when you come off tour? However long that may be, is there like an acclimation period of time where you gotta acclimate to regular life as opposed to tour life?
Yeah, with us, with Finger 11, everything happened so gradually that it was never an overwhelming thing. When we first started touring, I think all of us lived at home with our either mom or dad or both. Wow. So we came home from a lot of tours to my mom's house, and I know those guys. So it was like, as we were doing more and more, I got my first apartment. I came home and just a group of people knew the band. I would come home again. It seemed like more people knew the band, but there was never like a moment where, boom, I was overwhelmed by being home. You know, it was always, which we were probably lucky to have, because, you know, I probably missed the whole like egotistical part. You know, I'm still egotistical, I'm sure, but it all happened at a nice slow pace. So everything felt not overwhelming as it came along, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. Well, how, I mean, you know, we thought that in March 2020 that this would last 3 weeks, maybe 2 months, something like that. We're still here. We're still here. We're still figuring all this crap out. Has this been helpful in any type of music situation? Have you been able to catch up on things, maybe side projects or anything like that you've been trying to do?
For me, yes, because I was out of music for quite a few years after I mean, I was fired from St. Asonia, and we can get into that, like some of my addictions and stuff. So I was not doing anything for a bunch of years. So had COVID came along last year or not, it wouldn't have really changed what was going on in my career stuff. But I didn't get a band. Like during that time, this band that I'm playing with now called No Resolve, these guys from Detroit, because I moved down to Michigan as well from Canada. That's added a nice amount of time to, I mean, we still haven't played a show together, and I've been, I guess, in this band for a year now. But it's been good to play songs. Yeah.
It's so weird that you, I mean, you're ready to go. You're ready to do stuff, but you haven't, you can't. You just, you literally can't. Yeah.
We just spend time working on songs. And with this band, we're releasing a song every 6 weeks and doing a video as well.
Wow.
Kind of pumping out.
That's good. Content.
Dude, that's they cool.
will be, again, but it would have been weird for me to tour again anyway, because I haven't been out in about 4 years or stuff after St. Asonia. So I was kind of used to being.
Well, Eric and I, we haven't been out for at least 10 years, right, Eric?
Yeah, we don't, this is, they don't let us out of here. They, for very, very good reasons.
These walls, man, I'm telling you, look, they don't play around. I can't even get out to go pee. We have built-in toilets to our seats.
Yeah, there's actually, if you look up here, well, there's razor wire up here.
Yeah.
We're stuck. We're not going anywhere.
Well, I'll come visit. I'll feed you guys and stuff.
Sweet. Yeah. We appreciate that. And if you can't make it, just send a drone.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes.
Amazon does it. It's fine.
Yeah. It's new. Yeah, they are. But they do the up and down to the atmosphere and back down.
Yeah, it's a weird Skynet situation. We'll see.
I'll take some Cheetos. Some Cheetos, Jack Daniels, and Coke.
Absolutely, man.
Oh, and root beer.
Debris.
Ooh. I heard, and this has been confirmed on TikTok, so you know it's true. The flaming Cheetos, the really spicy hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
If you put those in milk, like cereal, and eat it, it's supposed to be delicious. Wow. Now, I'm bold, but I don't know if I'm that bold.
Well, I'm not that bold.
I would try it.
It's worth a try, I guess. I mean, just to say, okay, I did it. And plus, like 500 million views. So there's that. So you'll be a star or whatever.
Here's a question. If you guys were in, I'm not sure what part of the world, in Central Asia it is, or wherever it is, but if you were there and there was dog meat, you don't have to watch the dog being killed. You're in a restaurant or would you try it?
That's a good question.
Wow.
Probably.
Yeah, I probably would.
I don't want to know its name, though. I'm not big on names.
Well, I recently from a friend that went over there. So these, when you hear like a dog market, I'm picturing dogs in cages and just, real humane stuff. But the dogs, I guess they breed them. A certain kind of dog, so you never see them. And when you see them in the market, they're hanging like a chicken skin, so it just looks like a meat, So I got the impression that it was like dogs freaking out and scared. But I don't know why I thought of that. My point is to that. I would try anything, I think, when it comes to food. The Cheetos and milk. I will try anything once.
Rich, hang on. I got them. Thank you, Rich, for sending these. I appreciate that. The drone came in handy.
You're welcome.
Wow. I'll snack on these a little bit.
Whereas he just happens to have freaking Cheetos.
No, they came down from the ceiling.
Yeah. This cost me $7.95.
It was actually the receipt. Hang on. The receipt says $8.95. I think they charged $1 for Tennessee tax.
Yeah. Plus tip.
Metro Nashville.
Wow. Wow. All right, well let's get into another band that you were in. We already mentioned it, and it's St. Asonia. You were in that for what, about a couple of years, right?
About 5 years from start to finish. Because me and Adam both, he left 3 Days Grace.
Right.
Left sort of, but I don't know if I call it left or gently, quietly being asked to leave Finger Alive, and the whole thing was very uncomfortable, awkward. We can go back to that story after. But yeah, Saint Asonia started with sort of me calling Adam and just checking on his well-being, because I heard that he quit the band. And, you know, at that time, 3 Days Grace were massive.
Yeah.
So we were old friends. We knew each other. The 3 Days guys and Finger Eleven guys always knew each other. So it sort of, for me, from that one phone call, he started asking about how it was going with me, and things were not going well for me in Finger Eleven at that point. So it just naturally sort of happened that me and him were sort of going to start playing together. Mm-hmm. And then Mike Mushok from Stained, at the same time that was happening, he Stained were taking a break. Yeah. Mike was going to record with a bunch of different singers. So just randomly, he got a hold of Adam. He's like, hey, man, do you want to like work on some songs? So it all kind of came together. Hmm. It was all just kind of the right timing and stuff. But yeah, sure. So we did that record, and then we toured for about 2.5 years on it. But I was a fucking mess that whole time. You know, I was. That's when I really got bad into drugs and alcohol, and I was a huge mess. I mean, almost dying mess. Mm.
So yeah. How did you recover from that? How did you get out of that situation?
Well, I had to hit rock bottom, and I talk about this openly all the time. I mean, I got to the point I was doing meth, carrying meth, you know, to Europe and like to Russia with me. Yeah. I got really bad on that drug, and always alcohol was there, blacking out, staying up for days. So my playing really, you know, went to the shitter, man, during that time. At the end of that tour, the guys kind of got a hold of me and said, you know, we're just going to kind of look somewhere else for this next record, and really politely said, you're fired.
Yeah.
So from that, it got way worse. Then I went into like a big denial thing, and I moved down to Michigan. So the drug stuff kind of just filtered out, because I was only doing that back in Canada. And when I met my now wife down here, I just didn't know how to get those drugs. So then I started drinking really, really heavily again. So I sort of had to bottom a couple of years after Saint Asonia to then realize that, man, I'm going to die here. My career is gone unless I do something about it. Yeah. So I went to rehab. I started building my life again now to where it is now. And it's all a blessing, man. Those guys fired me when they did. Now I see that it was a true blessing. And I'm friends with those guys again now. And it's, you know.
Yeah.
That's great, man. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to see you're doing good.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing too. There's a lot of that opportunity in this industry. Unfortunately, it seems to be very, very, very easy to obtain that, in this particular industry. But if you're talking to people right now that are just starting out in the industry, in the music industry, as a band or as a, you know, it's not just band members. It's everybody in the industry has this potential to, you know, to do this, to get into drugs, to get into, you know, heavy alcohol, all that good stuff, but not good stuff. That's not what I meant, but we all know what I meant.
Damn, Eric. Yeah. Gosh.
Anyway, bitch. Oh, it's my first day. This is the first time I've ever done this.
He's new. It's fine.
But it's one of those things where, what would you suggest to these people that are just getting into it? What are some things to watch out for
that
you've been through?
You know, I think there's a side of it that's awesome and fun, you know, for a new band to go out there and party and drink and stuff. That I think that's part of it. And I don't know if I'd be that, you know, don't ever do that, or you have to be so serious all the time. I mean, it is rock and roll.
Right.
It's part of the journey. I just think at some point, it kind of comes with age too. You know, it was around probably our fourth record when you almost become jaded to it all. And in some ways you are taking it for granted. And I guess I would just say, watch, if you're drinking every night, you know, just maybe don't get fucking hammered every night.
Right.
And remember, maybe don't drink before shows, and kind of remember why you're there. And probably there's 100 other bands behind you that would love to be in your place. They're just waiting for you to fuck up. So,
yep.
But have fun, man. Just, you know, stay away from the things. It's almost, you could tell someone that in any job, I think. Tell any 21-year-old, hey, have fun, but just sort of keep an eye out for this shit. Stay away from hard drugs and stuff. Right. But if you're going to experiment with shit, I mean, you're young. You know, it just, for me, I was an addict growing up my whole life. So it was just like it was just a matter of time, no matter what job I had, where I was gonna crash and burn.
Yeah,
because I'm just a raging fucking addict, you know.
Yeah. Man, well, I guess that's some pretty good advice to just pay attention to your surroundings, pay attention to your, to how your attitude is all the time. Just keep yourself in check and keep yourself healthy. And
yeah, I love that about what you said, Rich, man, just seeing it, your attitude, like even you notice your attitude change. It was one of those things you said, it was like a blessing, you know, that you, the bands, when they let you go, it was, you may not have realized it then, but now it's like, man, I mean, they actually did me a favor at that point, you know?
Yeah.
Now my playing is back to where I'm, you know, confident as it was before. I'm a father. I just, you know, my son's 7 months old. I got nice. Married. I sort of made the official move down here to Michigan. So many blessings have come into my life. And now this new band has just sort of appeared out of nowhere. It seems like the more you take care of yourself and the more you treat everything in life with care and try to get healthy, all the stuff starts coming back, man. But
yeah,
until you do, you'll just be fucking blaming everybody else. It was, you know, it's everyone else's fault. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Eventually you got to just realize, no, all of this is my doing. You got to take accountability for it. And until you do that, you can't, you know, start climbing up again. But
yeah.
Yeah. It's been interesting ride for me.
Except for me, I blame everything on Eric.
It's true. He does.
Naturally.
It's factual. Yeah. He actually does that.
That's the addiction side of things. You know, it is a real thing, but I mean, it's fun too. I've had so many great blackout fucking drunks with guys on the road, you know, that are just awesome, memorable nights. It just, I was on 20 something years. At a certain point, it catches up to it.
Yeah. 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 That's, I mean, it's the same. It's not the same, but I'm realizing that the things I could do in my younger days, it's harder for me to do them now for some reason. Apparently, I'm getting older, which I never thought that was possible, but apparently, it is. We get older as we progress.
Yep.
But yes, a lot of those things that we used to do, you just you can't really. Your body doesn't want to keep up. You got to accommodate your body, and you got to pay attention to what's going on with all that stuff. The rock star.
Napper name. Sorry to interrupt. I've become a big time napper in my
We'll
take a nap before I go to bed. I'll nap before bedtime.
That's good though. Hey, sleep is important, man.
It is.
Yeah. Very. I will find time and place to have a little shut eye. And I like a bunch 5-10 years ago, I did not do that. So that's
right.
He's at 40s and on, you become a napper.
you're just catching up, Rich. You're just catching up.
That's right.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. I've been looking over these our text thread, and I can't say any of it. I can't repeat any of it. So we're not going to repeat it. I was hopeful. I was looking at it. I was like, yeah, we can. Nope. Can't do it.
Which is fine.
That's just going to have to be for the VIP subscription service, the premium service.
Right.
Saving that action for anyway. Let's talk a little bit about No Resolve, since that's the current situation right now. I know that there's not a whole lot going on due to unforeseen circumstances.
Live music.
But there's gotta be something that you're excited about right now with that band.
Yeah. I mean, the band has signed a deal with this indie label. And the plan, the difference from this band to other bands is now everything's changed with streaming and nobody, you know, record sales are a thing of the past. So in many ways, these guys are sort of educating me on how things are these days. Mm. This band's doing really great in that world. And we're just constantly trying to bang out songs. And the band doesn't really want to go on tour until it's going to be worth it. So everyone in this band is really vocal. Besides myself, they have full-time jobs and they're like career jobs. And no one wants to leave those jobs until the band's at a certain point. So it's really cool and it's really honest. And you know, I think it's got I think it's got a real good chance. They're, you know, great songwriters, really great guys. We haven't played live, so I can't say we're a great live band yet. But we will be.
It will be. I imagine it will be. Look who's on drums, man. It's going to be great.
Yeah, right? Right? It's so weird. It's so weird that, I mean, you know, Parker and I are used to going to festivals and shows, especially around here in Nashville, and just, you know, covering events and things like that. So we're not even musicians. Technically we are, but we're not touring musicians. We don't do any of that stuff. So, we want to get back out there. There's so many things that we want to do. We want to get back into festivals. We want to get back into concerts, go to the venues here, local venues, historic venues here in Nashville, things like that. There's a new amphitheater opening up here as well. So now there's going to be two. It's going to be awesome. And we can't do anything.
Yeah.
We can do nothing. And the other side of that is too, is that when we contact these people, just to start the initial, hey guys, how you doing? They don't care because there's nothing going on. So there are shows that are happening. They're slowly coming back around here, and it's going to have to happen sooner than later because Nashville is a huge tourist city. So they're not going to survive long without having everything at least somewhat reopened. And it's getting there. You can still go to a venue downtown on Broadway and do all that stuff, but. Yeah. It's still weird. So, once we get past that and get back out there, man, it's going to be like you're 14 again, going to your first show, and whether you're playing on stage or you're watching it, I think it's going to be awesome. Maybe even epic, depending on who you're watching. So,
out of all this negative stuff that's happened, I agree with you. I think shows will be, for both the person in the crowd and the people on the stage, it's going to be more amazing than ever because this has happened once in, 100 years. So this is such a huge thing in everybody's lives that everything is when it comes back. I mean, even going to a restaurant is amazing now. And like sitting down and dining, stuff like that,
I mean, you think about it, man, 100 years ago, we didn't have production like this either. We've had a pause longer than ever before with music that we've, experienced for so long. And now it's like, what do we do?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So it's going to be awesome. And something really positive is going to come out of this. When bands do hit the road, they're going to be fucking fired up,
Yeah.
And obviously people coming to the shows, it's going to be epic is the right word. It's going to be very epic. And
I think it will be, man. I think there's going to be a lot of cool stuff that's going to happen. I mean, festivals, I think, there's going to be so much energy. And there always is energy at a festival, or one of the bigger shows that comes through the area. But, man, with these, it's been going on almost a year and a half. Well, we're approaching a year and a half here in a minute. But of just nothing, of just dead water, just dead sound. Just nothing. Nothing's happening. We did have some live streams here and there, and that's cool. That is definitely not even kind of a replacement, but it if you were able to do it, if you are still able to do it, make it happen, make it so. Whatever gets you out there and gets your music heard, if you're able to do that, make it happen. But we need to bring live music back. Yeah. People need it. People need it.
And, I've seen some friends of mine from different bands get really creative over the last year with the live streams. Sean, the drummer of Breaking Benjamin, he's opened a school, a little drum school. Him and Barry from 3 Days Grace do like a writing session where you can go and spend 4 hours with them.
That's cool.
It's things that never would have happened, I think, in the past. People are at home and they're still artists and they're still creative. So I agree with you. Stream thing is not a concert, but it's great for me seeing my friends, the Seven Dust guys did it recently. It's like,
that's yes.
fucking, they're coming in thinking of something to do.
Yeah.
Again, it's something I think that it'll make bands closer in the future because they got through this together. So I'm sure a lot of bands have broken up in this time. It's just not going to be worth it for them anymore. Yeah. If you survive this, you're going to be a stronger band for it.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. I think so. Well, and I feel too, like if you still have, a 1 or 2 album contract left with your label, you should be able to fulfill that. Given the amount of time, you should be able to write enough to fulfill that contract in probably the next 6 months and be able to do what you need to do. But
hard these bands put out records last year and they just sort of, I'm sure they thought, in a few months from now, we'll be back on track. I know Cedar put record last summer. Saint Asonia put out a record. So, you know, that's really sucks that they sort of at this point got to abandon the record and start over again. So,
yep. Oh, man.
Yep. It just, I mean, that's a whole other show. We could get into all of that, but dude, I'm tired of it. And so we need to get back to whatever normal is going to be. And we need to do it as quickly as and safely as possible. So,
well, did you this thing going before it all?
Well, so this, the idea was, we had this, we've been talking about this for years. We didn't know it was this, but we've been talking about this for years, just trying to do something. We have a radio background. So we've been in radio for, you know, a few years. Decided that sucked. So we said,
peace.
And because we were doing, I had another podcast that I was doing. I was doing more stuff with the podcast that I was doing, you know, with the radio station. So I was like, this is dumb. I'm gone. And then, you know, Parker was in the same situation where it just didn't seem like a good idea to continue with radio. So we eventually figured out what we were doing. Is about actually it was like January of 2020 when we actually started seriously talking about moving this forward. So this is still a very, very new show. We were supposed to be in person. So we had been talking to, you know, some venues and stuff like that where we could film at, do all that kind of thing. And then March hit, and then everything just went to chaos. So we're like, oh, cool. That's fantastic. You know, much like every band out there was like, so we made all these sets and, you know, got some extra equipment and things like that. And, now we're talking to Rich.
Yeah.
So you guys are that as well. I was just talking about bands doing the live streams. You guys have, you know, made it. I mean, this is great. People really like this show, I know, and you guys are making it happen. Now you guys can do this and go to venues in the future.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So a lot of opportunities came out of all this dark, you know, horrible shit.
Yep.
You know?
It's almost like radio. We're doing it without radio. We can, you know, people tell you can't do something. It's okay. Me and Eric, you tell us that, man, we're going to full force all the way. So, you know, we had the idea. We'll end up probably going to, we've got a couple of venues in Nashville that are pretty well known that we're talking to. So, I mean, once it's over, you know, we'll be out at shows. We'll be before shows. We'll be hanging with the guys, the bands, whatever, you know. But I think it's going to be, I think you're right, Rich. I think it's going to be a cool mixture. If we can do this, even this way, sometimes we eventually do want to be in the same studio. We've talked about those opportunities, you know, with having one single studio so that I can actually touch Eric, whichever side he's on. But yeah, man, we miss it, but it's one of those things COVID's brought some bad stuff, but it's also, I mean, like if you look at it that way, look at the blessings it's brought this show in a way we've still been able to do it. So we can't complain. We got Rich on the show and all the awesome guests we've had, man, all of your friends and stuff. We appreciate Kaz.
Yeah.
For getting us hooked up with you, man. So we're grateful. So.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's the hockey arena in Nashville, the big arena there? What's the name of that?
Bridgestone.
Okay. So years ago, I got a good, funny drunken story about that. We had a day off. We played that arena, I think, with Evanescence. We had a day there. So we didn't, you know, when we used to travel on a bus, we wouldn't get hotel rooms on days off, just live on the bus in the parking lot. So we spent the whole day in that parking lot getting ripped drunk. And by the end of the day, someone got us in. The Black Crows were playing at the Rymal. So we went in. I don't know how we were able to do this, but we, you know, after a full day of drinking, like belligerent drunk, we got led into the show, and we were standing not in the front row, beyond the front row, like where security would be, with our drinks just staring up at the singer of the Black Crowes, like belligerent assholes. Wow. And nobody, we just stood there. I think, you know, we saw a couple songs and we decided we'd seen enough. We had to go back drinking, but it's all like a that night. And it's one guy fell asleep in the parking lot that night, and he woke up the next day. It's
just, we're about to make broadcast real interesting. You just opened up a can of worms.
Oh, so, here we go. Okay.
So, similar story, Rich, except this was a little bit more, I mean, this was pre 9/11. So you didn't have to worry about security and stuff like that. So long time ago, now I'm not going to tell you anybody where this is at, but I'm sure it still exists, but there is a tunnel that leads into Bridgestone Arena. There was a spot where a friend of mine, his dad used to work either for the city or Metro or with somebody from Nashville. And he told us about it. So, you know, I was 16 years old at the time. I rode BMX, you know, all of our friends rode skate park and stuff. So I was like, man, yeah, let's ride some street downtown. So we went, we found the spot. Sure enough, it was true. We didn't think twice about it because that's what you do at that age. And we went down the tunnel and ended up in, there's like a room that has a hole in it. And I don't think it has anymore. I think it's actually fenced up, but it led into the, like, one of the boiler rooms of Bridgestone Arena. And you can actually, like, climb in there. And it, obviously I was like, man, at that time, I think I did a little bit. I don't know if I did. No, I didn't do radio work then. So I don't know where I got that, that momentum, but I was like, everybody act like you're supposed to be here. And so, so we just walked out the doors. You were sure enough backstage right there at Bridgestone, and it was Metallica and Lamb of God. So
you had this
massive lineup of people playing, and Lamb of God, I think, was on the stage, but Metallica, I swear, dude, me and like four or five of my friends, they can account for it. We sat back there and ate turkey legs with Metallica, and nobody knew who we were.
Amazing.
That's my Ryman story for you. But that, dude, there's no way that that could happen ever again, especially after all the times, like all the, you know, everything that's going on. You can't do that. But
well, you say that. You say that.
Unless Rich comes to town, to Nashville, and we try it.
Yeah, you guys will be welcome. We'll be eating turkey legs together.
Oh, man.
Oh.
I did a couple guys in Lamb of God recently, man. They're great guys. I've always been a fan of their band, but
yeah,
it's been nice to know those. They're great guys, man.
Yeah.
And well, you know, when I toured with Ozzy years ago, Jason Newsted did one tour with him. After he left Metallica, he did like a small stint with Ozzy, and that was the tour that we did.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was so, I mean, I grew up being a Metallica freak. Just idolize them, and I sort of, as I got older, you kind of forget, you know. I still love them, but you know, you just become mature, you're not as like starstruck with the idea.
Yeah,
we have the tour, Jason Newsted walked by, and I froze up like I was a 14-year-old kid again, and I couldn't talk to him. I was too scared. So as the tour went along, his fiance or his wife, she had a little puppy, and she'd always be outside of the arena walking the dog, and I would come over and play with the dog, and she'd be like, did you talk to Jason yet? No, I can't. I'm still too nervous. But the whole tour went by, and I never said fucking hello to him once.
Wow.
I was starstruck big time.
Wow. That's how it was with Parker. When I first met Parker, I was like, I can't do it. You got to ease into it.
We had to warm him up a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
I can see that.
For various reasons.
Let me ask you this before Eric gets started back on that topic. No, you know what? Just forget that topic. The drummer for Black Crowes, who is that? Is it Steve Gorman, or is that the Counting Crows?
I think it's Steve Gorman. I don't think he's in the band anymore.
Right. We used to work with him at the same. Eric and I worked at the radio station. I believe he does sports now. He does sports radio, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I figured drummer to drummer, I was like, maybe he knows. I don't know. But
I heard him on the Mark Maron podcast.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. So Steve Gorman, yeah, he literally worked right in the next room from where we were at. There would be some days I would see Steve in there, and I'd bang on the window. I'd be like, and interrupt his like syndicated radio show, you know? Oh, man.
Matter of fact, looking back, that might be why we got fired.
It could have been.
Probably
on the walls while people were on air.
There's nothing like pissing people off in the next room. Oh, man.
It's fun. And again, that's why we do our own thing now. So that's what it is.
They don't know how to have fun anymore.
And when you start banging walls and they start collapsing, those, you know, sometimes dressing rooms in the backstage, it's really shitty, kind of like portables and paper thin. And I remember years and years ago, Drowning Pool and Finger Eleven were on a bill. It was like an all-day festival. And for some reason, those Drowning Pool guys thought they were going to destroy this room. So they proceeded to do it, breaking all the glass in the bathroom stuff. But that went on for a little bit. And the guys in the Offspring were next door. And all of a sudden, after, you know, everyone thinks they're being a badass wreck in this room, this fucking wall comes crashing down, and it's Noodles from. Dressing room. I'll show you how to destroy a dressing room. He's knocked the whole down.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Dude, that sounds like Noodles, man. He anywhere he goes, he makes destruction happen. We had an acoustic set with him one time, and he took. We didn't know what to expect. It's an acoustic set. Nothing crazy is supposed to happen. And all of a sudden, you know, there must have been 50 people in the room. So it's like, okay, ukulele, little guitar. And all of a sudden he just goes, blam, and just smashes this thing out of nowhere. It goes, yep. I mean, it flows flying into people's faces. He didn't care, man. It's just him.
14 people had splinters. It was crazy. It was a crazy event.
The ambulance bill was like $1,200 that day.
Yeah.
He's got thick rim glasses, so his eyes were fine. He's not worried about
them. Yeah. And Dexter's too busy in the laboratory making his hot sauce, man. He doesn't know.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, it's two planes that he owns.
Man.
Oh, man. The only plane I think we can finance right now is one of those styrofoam ones that you just throw. I think we are okay with those.
We're not there yet. We need the paper plane. We can only fold planes.
Yeah. You can only fold them so much.
Those Canadian rock bands, man, we just get paid in loonies and toonies. And, all we could afford was hockey sticks and maple syrup.
although, to be fair, maple syrup. Seriously, right. Maple syrup, though.
Right.
It's pretty delicious.
You know, the best Canadian, everyone says they're so polite and stuff. It's such a great thing to be known for. But I always tell people that say that to me, like, man, do you know how many fucking racist assholes I've grown up with in my life from Canada? It's a huge country of millions and millions of people. Not everybody is polite. It's a ridiculous thing to think, you know, great thing to be for, but I mean,
yeah. I have met Canadians, so I know that's confirmed that, not all of them are good people, much like Americans, much like every other nationality. If you actually meet more than one person, you're going to know that there are some douchebags that are hanging out with you. So it happens, you know, it happens.
It's everywhere.
We're quite fond of Canada over there. It's Canada, eh? Fine place.
And you know what? I like maple syrup. In fact, I'll take a shot of some syrup right now.
You go.
This is Mr. Butters. No, Mrs. Butters. Buttersworth. Is that a thing anymore?
Nope.
See, that's racist too, man. Yep. This is awful. Cancel that. All right,
Rich. Here's the thing. Now you said you're from Canada. We've talked to a few bands from over there, up there, up there. Mm-hmm. It's up now. It depends on which way I'm laying. It's a long story. When these bands would tour in the winter? It took a large amount of effort because winter in Canada. I need to hear some stories about winter in Canada and touring.
Oh, man. For some reason, a lot of bands will tour in February.
Why? I don't understand.
Maybe you get paid more. So I'm not sure, but it seemed to be a thing. We always did. But it's fun. When we brought American bands with us, we brought these guys. Remember the band Cold? They're still out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Brought them across Canada with us, and I think they're from Jacksonville, Florida, so they were just
and their band name is Cold,
right?
We would go to places like Winnipeg, and it's just, you know, it's like the tundra up there.
Didn't they do that song Stupid Girl?
Yeah. And you know, that actually, one night the guitar player of that band came on our bus, and we decided to do mushrooms. And we'd never done mushrooms as a band together ever before, so I was kind of freaked out about getting paranoid and stuff.
Right.
But about an hour into it, this guy, his name's Kelly, he's a wonderful dude, but he was tripping out too. He thought that we were all videotaping him, and it was like some conspiracy to, like, we were making fun of him. I didn't find out until the next day.
Oh no!
All of a sudden we're sitting in the front lounge of the bus, and he looked at me. And he told me he was going to fucking kill me. Oh, and he's like, he looks like Marilyn Manson kind of guy. He just looks at me right in my face. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill you tonight.
It's like our friend MacDiver.
Oh, my gosh.
We totally understand.
Were you legit freaked out?
Well, because I brought him as a guest on the bus myself, all the guys were like, get this guy to the back of the bus. And so all night it was just me and him in a dark, you know, back of a tour bus. And every once in a while he would just stand up and like motion to punch me. And I, cause I'm fucking tripping.
Oh
and
gosh, was, dude, that would suck.
Good Lord.
Next day, we were supposed to meet up with Cold and their bus broke down. So he was with us for like 3 days traveling with us.
Oh my gosh. How awkward was that?
Well, he really apologized the next day and he explained, man, I thought you guys were videotaping me and it was all some conspiracy to.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that describes the letting me know you're going to murder me.
That's crazy.
That's a Canadian winter tour story for you.
Oh wow. My gosh. Yeah. That's like a terror. That's like a terry, freaking crazy nightmare or something. Yeah.
Like Rob Zombie's writing that.
Yeah, it was.
Movie. Good Lord.
Just then getting off stage in Canada and if you're, you know, you're soaking wet from sweat and you got to like take the hike to the bus and you get back and literally everything is like frozen in place, your clothes.
Yeah.
Awful.
Wow.
Awful. But great. That's home.
But awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
But awesome at the same time. I can understand that. I can understand that. Rich, I have access to the internet. I just want you to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. And somebody yes. thought that was a good idea. It appears that you are left-handed. You play drums left-handed. You do, you know, whatever else you do left-handed. Yeah. Things like that.
I'm one of the few left-handed drummers out there. I mean, I'm sure there's millions around the world, but as far as out there, in the public eye. I know Phil Collins is a lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's escaping me now. Who else is? But there's a few, but not many, man.
There are. So how, when you were trying to learn drums, how hard was it to do that? Because I'm assuming you had to learn from somebody that was right-handed. So
funny enough, that's not the case. My first drum lesson, I sat down and I don't know the difference between left or right-handed drum sets. And my teacher, Dan, he's still a friend of mine. We started that lesson. I came back, you know, every week. And it wasn't until a few months in, a kid at the music store was playing the drum set. Man, that looks so different. I found out it was me that was different. So yeah, I had a left-handed drum teacher.
Wow. That's crazy. Have you ever tried to play right-handed?
Yeah, I've had to do shows like when I was growing up, you know, before anything serious in the business, playing little bars with, you know, bands I started with. But if they had two bass drums, a drum set, I could just open a hi-hat and just use my left foot and kind of make my way around the kit. So it's possible, but it's not comfortable, that's for sure.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine.
Ginger Fish, the drummer from Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson, he's what's the word? Ambidextrous? What's the
name? Yeah, that's close enough. Yeah.
Close. He can play his drum set's literally set up left and right and it kind of switches back and forth.
Crazy. I just switched my mic over to this side from this side. It's messing me up. Messes up my whole game. I can't figure it out. I can't do it. I base my points off of my mic, like literally my finger pointing. And it used to be over here. So my brain, I had it. This is totally dumb and irrelevant, but we're going to talk about it.
He's dyslexic too.
I can't figure it out. I can't, I'm always pointing. I don't know where Parker's at on the screen. So I just like, I try to cover the entire, he's somewhere on this. Yeah.
There we go. He's
somewhere over here. I don't know.
That is hard.
No idea.
On my screen, you guys, well, let's see here. Eric is here and Parker's here.
Sweet. Oh,
Parker's on the bottom. That's surprising.
I heard about
Rich, that. High five or low five, Rich.
And that's going to look really dumb later because that's not even how it's going to be.
That's 1 5-second promo in itself.
That's tune next week for.
Yeah.
It's
what these YouTubers do, man. That's all they do. They like in their camera segments like this.
Right. They do that. Boom. And then they're somewhere else.
And we're back.
And we're back. Yeah. We're going to do that with bathroom breaks, I think.
Yeah. It's already done.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, I need to, you kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but you recently signed a pretty big deal. We need to go a little bit more in depth, if there is anything more in depth. But the big deal, first of all, I'm assuming this isn't the first time that you've signed with a label, whether it's now when you enter a band, do you have to, if they're already on a label, do you have to actually, obviously you have to fill out the paperwork for the label, right?
No, with any band that you were jumping on board with, you'd be a hired guy.
Okay.
Because if you're getting onto the business, that means if you're someone new to the project, like any business, you hired a guy on, you would make him a partner in the business. Yeah, these guys already were working with this. They're not a huge label. They're a very small label too. Sure. But they, I didn't sign anything right now. I'm just playing with them, but it depends, with Finger 11, we started that band. So I was, a part of the whole business thing. With St. Asonia, I was like a salary guy. It was Adam and Mike who did all that. So it's different. I mean, a lot of bands out there that we all know, I'm not going to mention them, but it's crazy how many guys are just getting paid like weekly. And there's like one guy in the owns the band. Yeah. A lot of them. Man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's good for them. Whoever owns the band. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of understand that because that's what I do. I subcontract a lot of, I am a subcontractor, so I get subbed out a lot to do various things. I do video production, things like that. Voiceovers, all that good stuff. But I never thought of that as a band. I just assume, because when you start out as a band, you're just a whole bunch of friends hanging out, playing music, trying to, be rock stars, things like that. I never thought about that it's still like essentially it would be like some sort of 1099 or W-9 form situation. Weird.
Now there's, some bands will do what's it called? Like a privacy thing where you can't talk when you join a band, you can't talk about the band or
non-disclosure NDA.
Yeah. So you don't find out, but there's tons of rock bands that, there's just one guy that's really running the show. But if you just watch their music videos or their promo pictures, it appears that, they're a band, but
yep.
We're a business. When I left Finger 11, we had to do a lot of legal stuff just to, make that separation. It's a pain in the ass and kind of gets ugly sometimes, but like a divorce,
Eric knows about that. He still self contracts his wife out. Independent contract. $10.99 every month.
True. True. What are you gonna do?
She signs it. She agrees to it.
It's fine. It's all good. Subcontracted. Yeah. Subcontracted. So the kids. The kids.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yeah. Can I have a backup plan, man? If you want to get rid of them. It's only a year.
It's only a year.
Every year you decide January.
That's right.
It's fine. Anyway, here's the thing. We got to talk about, we like to play games on the show. This game is pretty popular with the kids, apparently. According to my research with one kid, it's pretty popular. So there's that. It's a little game that we like to call Would You Rather. And Rich, it would be an honor for us if you would join us in this festive game of Would You Rather.
You got to do it in a British accent, though. Would you rather?
Yes.
Would you rather?
All right.
I will join in on that. Would you rather?
Parker, here's the thing. I'm gonna say the first one. You say the second one. And then maybe we'll say the third one at the same time. I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
We'll change it up.
Okay. Hey, can Rich, could you answer in a British accent?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing before we start. I was born in Wales. I'm a Welsh guy, literally. I moved to Kent 6 years old. So I'll try to denote the best Welsh accent I can for you. Okay.
Well, interesting. this is going to be weird. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So this is Would You Rather? And we've got three questions. I'm going to figure out how to start the first one with a British accent, which actually shouldn't be very hard for me because that's kind of where we're from. So
that's true.
Hundreds of years ago, I guess. So it shouldn't be that hard. I've seen a movie. We're good.
Turn on the switch.
Okay, here we go. You ready? Now this is very this is an intro question. So it's not going to be crazy. It's not going to be like the rest of them that you're going to be like, "What is wrong with you people?" And I'm sorry that I came on the show. This is going to be the intro question. So this will kind of get you into the swing of things, if you will. All right, here we go. Would you rather play for Puddle of Mud or Five Finger Death Punch?
Ooh.
Well, love, I have to say, bloody Five Finger Death Punch, man. You know, good bloody rock band. And yeah, I don't want to go to jail, do I, with Wes? Don't want to get in trouble with him at the airport, do I?
Tell me how.
I'm going to go with Five Finger Death Punch on that, lads.
Five Finger Death Punch it is. That's it. The final answer is Five Finger Death Punch. Parker?
Oh, man. These accents. I'm not an accent guy.
Yes, you are. You are from the South. You are from the South. Yes, you are an accent guy. Come on.
I'll do a Southern English accent. How about that?
The Southern English. This should be... This is going to get us the clicks. This is where it's at right here.
Here we go. Would you rather, Rich, would you rather be stranded on an island alone or with the person you hate the most?
Male or female?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
We'll let you pick that.
Well, that's up to you. We don't know who you hate the most. So it's kind of, So you're either alone, totally alone, or you're with the person that you hate the most.
The person that I hate the most, because I'm generally, even not on a deserted island, pretty, forgiving and wanting to talk things out. So I'm sure that we would be buddies before the first coconut hit the sand.
If you were to phone a friend, you could have used the first question as a clue to phone Wes from Puddle of Mud. He'll tell you everybody he hates because he wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, no, I can do a good Wes accent.
Do it.
No, I don't want to do that. I'll make fun of him. He's a great guy.
He is a good guy, man.
He is actually.
I'm glad to see Wes doing better too, man. I see he's actually out about to do some shows, I think. And he's on the roll. I've been watching him, man. I've had to drive Wes. And when Wes was in that state, that was an interesting and difficult car ride from Nashville to the Fontanelle, which is a venue outside of Nashville, probably about 20 minutes out of where we were. But, man, I had to drive with Wes. Real quick story between the second and third question here. We're still in Would You Rather, by the way. We never left. But I drove Wes, and we were behind a Metro Nashville cop car, and he decided to turn on the little strobe lights on top of the radio station vehicle and try and pull the cop car over.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yep. I'll just let you imagine the rest of the story there.
Well, and that's the interesting part of being especially in rock radio is, you do pretty much every radio station does some sort of acoustic show before the main show at night, whatever. And that's where we really saw who these people were if we liked them or not, because usually those were generally before noon.
I still loved Wes from that moment.
Yeah. I was like, man. But you kind of see it, you see the real side of them.
Oh yeah. I drove
when you're requesting alcohol at 9 a.m. in the morning, there may be a problem.
It was a Sunday show in Tennessee before the laws changed. And Wes was like, "Hey, can you run me by this liquor store?" I was like, "Man, maybe like 20 minutes. I'll drop you off the radio station. You prepare. I'll go get whatever you need." He was like, "No, drop me off now." He's like, "I'll talk her into it." That was not a good scene either. He's like, "What are you gonna call? What are you gonna call the beer police? Come on, man, just sell me the alcohol."
To be fair, it was an annoying law.
It was. And it was stupid.
I'm glad that it is done now, so we can buy it whenever we want.
It made no sense, dude. No sense.
Anyway. And you know, I'll just say, I mean, I know Wes. He's a great dude. I'm so happy that he's
doing. Yeah,
me too, man. Yeah,
absolutely.
As a guy that's gone through some real dark shit, you know, I was really worried about him, and I'm really proud of the guy, man. He's doing well.
Me too.
Well, yeah. And that's you know, we do laugh a little bit, but at the same time, it is nice to see. It's amazing to see these people recover and get back to normal, like yourself. It's amazing to be able to have the drive to be able to do that and to say, no, I'm not going to allow this to take over me. I'm done with this, and I'm going to figure out how to make it right. And it's awesome, because then, you know, they can still get back into music. They can still do all of the stuff that, you know, you know this, you know what's going on and all this stuff. So it's awesome to see how that unfolds.
Well, I think all the sponsor shit. I mean, in my experience, everyone that kind of gets better is always a super positive thing with everyone. People want you to get better, and they're forgiving, and they're really rooting for you when you get better. And you know, if you're in a band, like Wes is such a great songwriter, or you're going through that stuff, I think people can sometimes be laughing behind your back or talking. Sure. But when you're trying to fix yourself, it's amazing, like the positive support I got anyway.
Well, and that's what you need. That's exactly what you need in that specific time, because obviously the negative was part of the reason why you're in that situation in the beginning. So any positive reinforcement, you know, is very much necessary in those situations. Sure. we have to finish this game.
Oh yeah. Question three.
We have a third question. This is interesting. Would you rather skydive naked into a stadium of people or wear a parka the entire set, which is an hour and a half? Let's say it's an hour and a half.
Headliner.
In the middle of summer, so you're outside.
I guess I'd say skydiving, just because I haven't skydove. What do you say? Skydived? I've never skydove.
Dove. Let's go with dove.
The madness of doing that would be, it would just be nuts. So yeah, I would do it just to say I did it.
Not to get graphic, but I'm going to get graphic. It seems like there'd be a lot of this going on, and I don't know if I'd be okay with all of that action going on while I'm dropping 10 minutes.
It would be some, you know, it would be so ridiculous that it would just have to be funny, man.
That would suck.
You'd probably not survive. I think you'd probably pass out. Tried to play drums anyway in the sun like that, you wouldn't make it through the set.
Oh man,
I don't think so. I mean, unless that suit had some sort of
protection,
some sort of air conditioner in it, I don't know. But
what I've always wanted to try, to be honest with you, is skydiving, like with a drum set, with a parka, naked underneath, into a club of like 6 to 7 people. Kind of been a dream of mine. Funny you guys mentioned
that. Is
that's been a dream of mine for years.
We're gonna make that come true.
Where's you put that up?
Where's our sponsor at for that? We got something for you finally.
Naked skydiving, come to Nashville, we'll get you taken care of.
we'll name that segment Go Nuts.
Go Nuts. Laughing. Yes. I would actually enjoy seeing that. And that sounded really awkward and weird. No, we're going with it. I would enjoy seeing that, because simply the logistics of the drum set. And I mean, I'm guessing you're going probably like 50 or 60 miles an hour. I don't know. I've never skydove. I'm assuming that it's going to be very, very weird. I mean, do your drumsticks have to have wings on them too, just so they can fly through the air?
Just Red Bull.
They could be tied, but not to your hands. You know what I'm saying?
They could be, but how are you going to pull the cord?
Bro, that's what you're not hearing what I'm saying. They could be attached not to your hands, to your finger 11, is what I'm saying. And then you have
your hands. Finger 11.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See,
or you could attach the drumsticks to the actual pull cords.
That's right.
This is what the internet does not give us. So there's that.
streaking, man, it's always hilarious if I happen to be that person coming into a stadium naked. I've never not laughed my ass off when someone comes running through any room naked. It's always great.
If there is any scenario when we get back to whatever we're calling normal, if there is a scenario where we can pull this off in Nashville, where it's happening, that's going to we'll get you here somehow. You're a whole band, and you're doing it. That's just what's going to have to happen.
Yes, parka, airplane, drum set. What else do I need? A crowd.
Crowd.
Parachute would be good.
It would. Yes, it would definitely be good. But I'm also thinking about like maybe some smoke coming off.
Oh yeah,
coming off drums or something like that, so like people can see. I mean,
in time, the ground and went like right as you hit. You know, someone doing a joke. Maybe someone in the arena is doing a joke, and as they do the punchline, you learn.
I think.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that you're probably going to have to practice that at some level. So you're going to have to jump probably like 10 times.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll plan that. You come down here, we'll pay for it, we'll do it.
I mean, we'll find a sponsor for that.
That's right. It's going to be in Chattanooga. Chattanooga.
Okay. Yep. Lots of fun stories. Hey, is a haunted hotel in Chattanooga? You guys
the haunted hotel? Famous?
Yeah. You guys know anything about that?
I don't.
Where like it's a hospital and some guy. I don't know. If you don't know, you don't know. But I stayed at some haunted.
I feel like it is Chattanooga. I feel like that is Chattanooga.
You know what? You're right, because that brings me back to another memory. There's actually that. Okay, so there's that, and there's actually Chattanooga is a cool town. You also have there's actually a deserted Playboy Mansion, completely deserted, and true. you can actually see like the pool. The pool has like the actual Playboy bunny tiled into it, and it's supposedly massive. People go do photo shoots, and it's just completely vacant. I don't know why. I don't know. We should check it out.
We're going tonight. Yeah, we'll go tonight.
That's definitely going to be Googling as soon as I'm done that.
Yes.
That's actually what you're going to be skydiving into.
Yes.
You know what? Better yet, you should skydive down to your drum set, like you're saying, instead of doing the shh. They should be ready for you and start the show as soon as your butt lands in that chair, man. Just like, blah, and then that's the intro, man.
Yep.
That's the intro.
That's happening.
Do that every night on the road, it would be an expensive tour, but well worth it.
It's only $2.4 million a night. It's not that bad. It's not pretty bad. Pretty reasonable if you're a billionaire. Not horrible. So I'm just saying,
we'll sponsor it. It's fine.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Chattanooga Skydiving. ChattanoogaSkydiving.com.
Go check it out right now.
Oh, and I do have your plan B in case you decide last minute to not go naked into the crowd. I've got a friend. His name's Ham. Ham, if he's if he's watching this, he will completely 100% agree to do this. He will do it. If it's not a naked person on stage, he will come in to the back of the venue and make his way all the way through the crowd completely naked.
Oh, nice.
I've already got it. Right. I'll text him to confirm. But when this starts back up and we have your band come through, expect it. Nashville. No resolve, right?
Yeah.
I'll look out for Ham. You know, it's not the greatest name when I think of someone streaking Ham, but
it's not. Not.
He's carrying a ham every single time. I don't know why.
It's his 11th finger.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Two hams.
It's his finger 11.
But I think it's safe to say that Rich is never coming to Nashville.
He's not. He canceled that ticket last minute.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Rich, here's the thing though. There's this, we talked about this earlier. There's this space called online. We're just finding out about it, but where do we find you online?
Well, after you plug it in, it does like I still have that kind of internet. But
oh yeah.
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 A little behind.
It happens. Yeah, it happens.
My name, Rich Beto, on both. I'm just on Facebook and Instagram, but just my name. That's it. Crazy.
Dig it.
I'm going to try Rich Beto and Ham. Me and Ham are going to start a page together.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. And you know what? Ham's good at like video and like computer stuff. Y'all would be a great team. I'll hook you up.
Beto and Ham.
Yeah. Beto and Ham. We got a new podcast. You know what? We'll cross promote.
Yes.
It sounds like a casserole.
It is.
Delicious casserole, actually.
It is.
I don't know. Whatever.
For the people that can't spell, IGNFB at Rich, RICH, Beddo, BEDDOE.
BEDDOE, yes. Yep.
BEDDOE.
That's it.
Yeah, right there. It'll actually be down here in the screen. If you have two sets of eyeballs, you're probably looking really weird right now. If you have one set of eyeballs, just go ahead and it doesn't matter. You can see it. It's the joke that didn't land. You're the no resolve at no resolve is where it's at though, right?
Yep, that's it.
Go check those guys out. I did. I was pleasantly surprised. So that's awesome. It was great. And they're going to come to town. It's going to happen whether they like it or not. There'll be a whole bunch of detours and they're going to end up in Nashville and be like, what happened here?
Wait, Nashville. No, no.
And it'll be great. It'll be fantastic.
What's the club in Nashville that like a band, like a rock band would play? The name of it again.
What size crowd?
Like say 1,000 people, 800 people or something.
Rockcast Studio.
There we go.
No. I would say that's close.
Exit In's such a perfect venue. I mean, I would say it's probably 500, but if you want to get real intimate,
yeah,
I think that's a good venue.
Where would I play there last time I came through is kind of what I'm wondering.
Marathon Music Works.
That sounds right. Yeah,
that's probably it. Yeah, that's a decent venue.
I believe. Yeah, were you St. Asonia at that point? Yeah, I think it was Marathon, yeah. You know what?
Actually, I think the Buzz did something with them.
Maybe it was Cannery Ballroom.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You know what? Because I drove Mike and Adam. I drove them both back to the venue.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was Cannery.
Nice. Now, again, there are two amphitheaters here now. There's one down by the river in Nashville, and there's a new one opening up south of Nashville, close to an hour, 35, 40 minutes, maybe something like that. And it's a little bit bigger. It's right off the interstate, so you don't have a choice but to go past there. But those are some pretty cool venues too. So if you can get on a bill with something like that, man, dude, it's good stuff. I take it. So
good, man. That's the plan.
It's gonna happen,
Dan. Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
We need to get live music back up and running. So, COVID, you're done. You can go ahead and take off now. Appreciate your time.
Right,
get out. Go ahead and go. You're good. Anyway, rock and roll. Rich, thanks so much for hanging with us tonight. It has been our pleasure, our honor to have you on the show. Again, guys, go find what's going on with Rich. You can find him on his personal IG at richbedeau.com. That wouldn't make any sense at all. Just at Rich Beddo. You can also find him at No Resolve is the band right now that's doing some pretty cool stuff too. So
yep.
The band that has been together for over a year and has never played a live show together. Man. Should be interesting. I'm excited. I would love to be on that first show. That would be pretty stellar. If you want to know more, say it again.
I was just saying thank you guys for having me on the show.
Oh, you know, it's our pleasure. Thank you for showing up. Because if you wouldn't have shown up, this probably would have been about 10 minutes of BS. That's pretty much what it would have been.
I'd be like, whoa, here we go again.
Trying to make things work, trying to force it. If you want to know more about the show, rockcatshow.com. You can find us on any podcasting situation that you love and enjoy. You can download the show there. You can download the entire series. Do what you do there. If you're more into the watching scenario, you can go check us out on rockcastshow.com or you can find us on YouTube. Either way, it lands you pretty much in the same situation of watching us. If you're not watching us, you're missing out like on 50% of the show. So go ahead and listen to it, but you're only half as cool. So there's that.
Yep.
You got to tell a friend. You got to tell, you know what? Tell an enemy too, because we don't know if the enemy is going to like us or not. Just go ahead and tell them about us.
Person, so
exactly.
Right. Right.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Full circle.
Yeah. Full circle. Anyway. All right.
Rich, man, it's been great. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. been a good time.
Awesome. For having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Guys, check back every, if you're on YouTube, you need to get that bell.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the actual sound. That's as close as I can get. That'll get you the notifications of when a show goes live. It's a good time.
How do they do it, Eric? On the YouTubers, they're like, be sure to like this video, comment below, and also subscribe, and be sure to hit that little bell. Ding!
That's nice. It. All the influencers.
That's how my kiddo does it.
I like it. Dig it. All right, guys. We're out. I'm Eric. That's Parker. And Rich is over yonder as well. We'll see you guys again next time. This is Rockcast. Bye.